Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
No sleep till...
That's probably a very fitting song as we head into our next guest. Even though the PGA Championship is not in Brooklyn, it's a New York reference. That works perfect. Another good choice, Chris. Awesome. Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. If you want to follow on Twitter, you can follow me at Brad K. Porter. That's at Brad K. Porter. If you want to follow Chris, it's at Chris underscore Bohlig, two L's, one G. Chris underscore Bohlig. The rains have stopped for the moment in Kansas City. Hopefully we'll see the sun later today. And a ray of sunshine joining us now. Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association. For a long time, he was a writer for the Kansas City Star, covered golf. Howard, how are you on this Sunday morning?
Well, I'm doing good, but I almost had to turn you guys off. I can't believe neither one of you saw Avatar. I even saw Avatar.
I just, you know what, when I saw the previews and the blue people, I just don't get it. I don't know if it's based on a book or something. It didn't seem to be a world that I wanted to go to.
I understand. But speaking of books, I wanted to mention when I was in New York, the New York Post had a story on a book that's coming out later this month called Wild and Crazy Guys. It's about all the drama behind comedy classics of the 80s, including stuff like Cheech and Chong were supposed to star in Stripes instead of Bill Murray and Harold Ramis. It looks like it's going to be
really
a great book. Yeah.
Cheech and Chong were supposed to be in Stars and Stripes instead of Bill Murray and Harold Ramis?
That's what this guy wrote in this book that's coming out this month. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That would have been a very different movie.
no kidding.
I remember the first time I watched a Cheech and Chong movie, I was probably a teenager, and I just thought they were funny people. I didn't realize that their whole comedy basis was in something that was at that time illegal.
right.
But that would have been, boy, if they do a reimagining of Stripes with Cheech and Chong, I'd be down for that. Totally. Totally down with that. All right, Howard, we'll talk a little PGA Championship here. You were out there last week, right? To the
yes.
Bethpage
yes.
Black. And, you know, I don't know if television does it justice, so you know, you work with the Golf Course Superintendents Association. You write for them as well. What is it as, I don't want to say monstrous because that makes it sound like it's not a beautiful course, but is it as terrorizing as it looks on television?
I think so, Brad. It's a long, tough walk. I mean, it's hilly and there's, it's a difficult course. And especially when it's wet, that makes it even longer. It probably plays 7,800 yards at that point. And, it's difficult. It's kind of U.S. Open-ish looks with the fairways are pretty tight and everything. And the rough, it's, obviously you're seeing the rough, what it's done.
The golf ball just disappears.
Yeah. 3.5 to 4 inches. I think they said 3.5, but I think it's closer to 4 at least. So, and especially when you had all the rain. I mean, they had two consecutive Sundays, they had 1.5 inches of rain.
Wow.
So they were growing pretty good. And then they didn't cut fairways. They didn't mow fairways from last Sunday until, was it the day before the championship? I think that evening they got out finally. So there was some serious growing there. So that made it kind of interesting.
We're speaking with Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association, longtime reporter for the Kansas City Star. He was out at Bethpage Black last week, side of the PGA Championship. And Howard, I'm just looking at, we're going to get into Brooks Koepka in a second, but I'm just looking at today, there's some of the golfers are already out on there, and Phil Mickelson is 2 over on the day, 8 over for the tournament. And Howard, I'm looking at that score for a guy like Phil Mickelson, and I'm thinking if I played Bethpage Black, and there's a warning sign that says this is very hard, you amateurs, this is not for you. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking if I go under 200, that might be a good day for me out there.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's the kind of the neat thing about Bethpage. It's a muni, so, you know, you, me, anybody could get on and play it, and it's how many times do you get to play a course that challenging? That's a major championship course, and then it's going to have the Ryder Cup, which is kind of cool. But yeah, obviously it's difficult. I mean, Phil didn't seem to have his anywhere close to his A game going on right now. So that's part of the deal when you play there.
To put it in perspective of how tough this is to play, everybody knows that Tiger Woods missed the cut because that was the big story on Friday. He was, I believe, 7 over. For the tournament. So the guy who's the best player in the world, or was for 15, 20 years, and just won the Masters 4 weeks ago, he doesn't make the cut. But also getting dropped, Jon Rahm, Bubba Watson, Sergio Garcia, Bryson DeChambeau, the mad scientist, Patrick Reed, a former Masters winner, Ian Poulter. I mean, this tore up the best players in the world who didn't even make it to the weekend.
That's just the way Brooks Koepka wanted it, right? Kind of
Rolling
it down to just a certain few.
Right.
I didn't think it would be those few, but.
Yeah, and you're looking at, you know, Brooks Koepka, he's not a secret anymore. You win 3 majors in a year and a half, you're not a secret. But he is absolutely, as the course is destroying some of the best players in the game, he is, I don't know if you call it destroying the course himself, but he is lapping the field right now, going into the final day with a 7-shot lead. That doesn't even seem possible, but when the major championships come out, Brooks Koepka is right now the best player in the world at conquering these places.
Well, no doubt. I think he's pretty cool, calm, and collected, and has a great game plan. And he flinched a little bit yesterday.
Coming in,
that back is tough, obviously, as we've seen. But I think he sticks to what he wants to do. He's confident. Yeah, good for him. I mean, he knows what has to get done and doesn't seem to let anything really bother him.
I'm not sure how much. I'm sure it hurt the PGA Championship television numbers not having Tiger into the weekend. But Brooks Koepka, for as great as he is in these majors, there's just a little bit missing in terms of marketing. I mean, he's a good-looking dude. We all know he hits the gym. That's painfully obvious. He's a great golfer, but he doesn't show a lot of emotion. And in his post-round interviews, he just doesn't display a lot of personality. And that's not a criticism of him. You are who you are. That's who you need to be. But I'm not sure it's magnetic enough to bring in, you know, the people who turn in randomly for a major on a weekend.
Right. Well, he's not Tiger Woods, who everybody's following. And he's not boisterous. He doesn't wear loud pants like John Daly.
Right.
Or loud shirts like Justin Rose. That's kind of odd seeing him in some loud shirts, isn't it?
Right.
He's busted those things out. But
it's that island living that Justin Rose is, you know, it's
right.
Taken him over.
Right. I'm Brooks Koepka, he just wants to win. I mean,
right.
Kind of that's all that matters in what you or me or anybody else think about him. I mean, I think he cares, but, you know, as long as you don't, you know, throw cuss words his way or, you know, degrade him any certain way, so what if he's not as colorful as maybe we'd like him to be? He is who he is, and boy, who wouldn't want to be in his shoes right now looking at 4 out of 8 majors? That's quite a stretch, and nobody's won back-to-back U.S. Open and PGAs, so he's making some history.
Well, his 7-shot lead for Brooks Koepka, behind him in those 7 shots, Dustin Johnson, Luke List, Jazz, and the announcers didn't want to pronounce his last name yesterday, and I'm not even going to try, but his first name is Jazz. Harold Varner III, who I actually kind of like. I pull for him a little bit. Jordan Spieth is 8-9 shots back. Adam Scott in the same spot. Is there any way Brooks Koepka can be caught today? I won't say it can't happen because we've seen meltdowns before, but it just doesn't look like there's going to be enough to catch him today.
I don't think so, Brad. I mean, they're talking about some gusty winds this afternoon up to 20, 25 miles an hour. Is that really going to make that much of a difference? I'm not convinced. But, you know, Dustin Johnson, boy, he left some stuff out there yesterday. He could have been much closer. I would think he would be the one guy that might be able to make a run because he hits it, he can bomb it. And as long as he keeps it, you know, in the fairway and hits greens, who knows? I mean, he's going to have to post a pretty low score. Luke List, not a bad player, but not been in this position on a Sunday before, really.
Right.
So it's hard to imagine that we're going to see a huge meltdown from Brooks. It just doesn't look like, you know, that's going to happen. I can't imagine. But, you know, it's a Sunday in a major.
Yeah, and I like following the local guys, too. And I was looking for Gary Woodland. He is at 3 over and even for the day. Gary Woodland, much like Brooks Koepka, is, you know, a solid dude, and he pounds the ball. But just has not been able to find the handle this week, and I believe he had an injury a couple of weeks ago, so he might not be 100%.
Right, yeah, and he's a guy you would have thought obviously could have a good chance at a place like this, and I think his time's coming. I think Gary Woodland is going to win a major at some point, sooner rather than later. So, but I mean, it's the Brooks show. I mean, he's kind of turned it into his own movie. We were talking about movies earlier. No, Death Page. You know, there's a crime being
right.
committed, and he's bludgeoning the course and the field there. I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, it's his week, and there's been a lot of times where it's been his week, and who knows how long that's going to continue.
We're speaking with Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association, longtime writer for the Kansas City Star before that. And we always like to bring in Howard when we're talking major golf championships or other big events. Let's get into John Daly a little bit. Obviously didn't make the weekend. He's been hurt. He's got a knee injury. It was painful to watch him play Thursday and Friday because he could barely pick the golf ball out of the hole, barely bent over to do it. And there was, I guess you call it, a controversial decision. The PGA said that he could use a cart while he was playing in the PGA Championship. He's a former champion, so he has a waiver to play. And Tiger Woods, I don't think, was all that happy about it because Tiger Woods said publicly, hey, I played on a broken leg. How did that go over in the golf community? Because we've seen the PGA before deny players the opportunity. There was the famous player who had the leg condition and lobbied the PGA and I think even went to court over it, and they denied him the chance to use a cart. How did it go over in the golf community that John Daly was allowed to use a cart?
Well, you mentioned what Tiger had said, and I think, you know, it was approved for him to do this. And I was out there on the course Thursday when he was riding around, and he was he had just finished teeing off, and he's coming back to his car, and really wasn't really smiling a lot or high fives or anything. I think he was a little sheepish, you know, didn't want all the attention he was getting from the fans, which you're going to get that in New York. I mean,
right.
they were loving it. They love him. But I just don't think he was really, really thrilled with, you know, everybody hanging around him. There were a lot of people there watching him. So, you know, it is what it is. And he says he wants to play the PGA Championship. He's won it. And as long as he can play, you know, he said he would prefer to walk, but he just really can't. And that course, it was going to be really hard for him to get around walking without a cart. So, you know, we'll see going forward what happens with him. I don't know what to say other than that.
Well, I think it, for me personally, I think it's good for the game that he's there. We talk about, I mentioned that Brooks Koepka doesn't exactly have a magnetic personality. John Daly does. And we saw was it the 30 for 30 they did a few weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
He talked about his life and how he made a lot of very poor choices. He owned up to everything. And I just think he's a magnetic personality, and I would hope he would embrace it more. But I think it's good for the PGA Tour because people like John. We just like John Daly. He's a flawed person that we can all relate to.
Right, I hear what you mean, yeah. But like I said, I think he felt kind of embarrassed about the whole thing, but it wasn't going to stop him from playing. And, you know, he's over the years, he's had some interesting things happen with him and out on the golf course. And I can still remember Tom Watson saying one thing about John Daly, saying, you know, he's really got a really good heart. And I think he is a good guy, but he's obviously had some ups and downs throughout his career. And here's just another thing that kind of makes him stand out a little. So, you know, best of luck to him. We'll see what happens with it.
And I seem to remember John Daly played in the Tom Watson Children's Mercy Classic years and years ago, right?
He did.
Yeah, because I remember we covered it when I used to work at Metro Sports, and he was on, they had that the drive on the first tee and the crowds all around, and everybody wants to see Tom Watson and John Daly. And I think, and they held it at Blue Hills where they just had the Kansas City Golf Classic last week for the web.com. And I think Daly, if I'm not mistaken, cranked it over the trees. It had to be like 400 plus yards.
Yeah, that's I remember that. There's been some monster stuff there. I mean, Laura Davies, I remember her hitting some, you know, it's just gigantic tee shots, and she was using like a little pencil. You know, she had, just kind of stuck it in as her tee in the ground, and it was crazy. Yeah, good times there over the years with that.
We're speaking with Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association. Also, was a longtime writer for the Kansas City Star. He got to visit Bethpage Black this week, the site of the PGA Championship. So, for Tiger Woods, real quick, going back to him one more time, he won the Masters, didn't make the cut in the PGA. He had 4 weeks off between the two. So, is kind of the general thinking that he took too much time off, or that he needed the time off because maybe he was worn out after the Masters? And what does it mean going forward for his competitions for the rest of the season, including the upcoming remaining two major championships?
You know, in retrospect, I imagine he maybe wishes he had played an event before that. And I know he got out there to Bethpage early, so he obviously got a good, you know, look at the course. And I don't know what happened. We still haven't really gotten down to the nitty-gritty of, you know, whether he was sick or, you know, Mark Rolfing was on the Golf Channel yesterday talking about that, you know, he said something happened to Tiger between Monday and, you know, before the first round. I don't know if maybe there was thought of an injury or something. I don't know. But it sounded like more some kind of an illness that was kind of, you know, kind of slowing him down. But I think now, I think you're going to see him play. I think the Memorial's coming up. I think we're going to see him there, and that's probably going to be it before he goes to Pebble, which, you know, we know what he did there
yes.
in 2000. But that doesn't guarantee he's going to do that again. It's not the Tiger of 2000 right now. So, but, you know, it's probably a course that's way better suited for him than Bethpage right now at his
yes,
time in his career.
I think golf fans are really looking forward to Pebble Beach and Tiger Woods, and I'll bet they're going to sell a ton of tickets out there for that.
Right. They were struggling, Brad. I don't know, you probably saw that somewhere, that they were struggling to sell tickets, I think, at the PGA. And there was, like, tickets on StubHub for as little as $6, I think, on Thursday and stuff. So the change in dates, you know, you go from August to May for the PGA. Maybe there's not as many kids out of school and stuff, and people are on vacations yet. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
I got to ask you this, too. Since you were out walking on Thursday and Friday out at Bethpage for the PGA Championship, the fans, you can hear them on television. They get pretty vocal, especially as it gets later in the day. And somebody asked me, you know, is it anything like the Phoenix Open? Is it, what is it, 16, 17, the stadium hole?
Right.
And it just gets crazy. Are the fans at Bethpage, you know, a little more amped than your average golf fans?
They probably are. It seemed a little more tame than in 2002 when I was there covering it for the newspaper when the U.S. Open was there. That was really, really rowdy and boisterous. And obviously it was a different time of the year being in June. So it wasn't as crazy wild as the last time I was there. But yeah, I mean, they talk a lot, and they, you know, they like to talk to the players, but it didn't seem like anything really got out of hand. It's probably, you know, a little bit different than you might see someplace else.
There were a couple of missed putts yesterday, and I could hear people from the crowd yelling things like, "Oh, come on!" like in that New York accent. The players kind of know what they're getting into, right?
They do, and I think they kind of embrace it some. As long as you don't do it in somebody's backswing or while they're getting ready to stand over putt, you know, I think they're okay with it. I think they actually like it. It kind of probably takes a little bit of the pressure off, actually.
All right, speaking with Howard Richmond from the Golf Course Superintendents Association, was a longtime writer at the Kansas City Star, covers golf. You've covered everything in your career, I think. Have you ever covered horse racing?
Oh, gee. Well, when the Woodlands had the horse races, yeah. We all did a rotation out there when it first opened, and what, 30 years ago, in 89, wasn't it, I think they opened?
Yeah.
So we all used to go out there and take a turn at it. It was interesting. I didn't know a whole lot about it, but it was different.
It was the first place, I think, was it 18 at the time you could bet on horse racing or dog racing?
I think so. Oh, yeah, you could bet out there.
I think right after I turned 18, my mom, she liked to put put a sawbuck on a horse or two. She's like, "Do you want to go out and place a bet?" And I'm like, "I don't know anything about it, but I'll try it." I think I made $5 or something like that. But the reason I ask you about horse racing is I was going to ask you if you saw the Preakness yesterday.
I did not. I missed it.
Well, catch the highlights if you can. There was a horse who knocked his rider off coming right out of the gate, and the horse happened to complete the entire race without a rider, Bodie Express. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in sports.
What did he finish?
I think technically he was disqualified, but I think he finished ahead of at least one horse, maybe two. I mean, I was proud.
Impressive.
I was cheering for him. I wanted to see him win the whole thing, although it wouldn't have counted.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, I was, the other night I was catching the movie Secretariat again. I've seen
before.
Have you
great
seen that
movie?
Oh, it's just fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. Well shot. Great acting. Awesome all the way around.
Yeah.
All right, a couple of final things for you here. All right. Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
No, I'm not, but Andrew Wilson, the director of agronomy at Bethpage, who oversees all the courses there, is. He said that, you know, we'll probably get done, have a little party, and I'm getting home to watch it.
Okay, so I can't ask you for a prediction then on who's going to win.
Well, I know this is the finale of it. I can tell
yes.
you that. That's my prediction.
There will be no more. I think they're going to make some prequels or something like that with different actors, but yeah, tonight is the night. All right, so let's finish with this. Your book recommendation, once again, is Wild and Crazy Guys. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's supposed to come out May 28th. Nick DeSemelin, I think his name is. So, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a good one if you're fans of 80 movies and John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and all those guys. I am, so it'll be great.
And I cannot wait to read the story about Cheech and Chong originally being wanted to be in the movie Stripes over Bill Murray and Harold Ramis. That's just wild. I can't believe that.
I know. I think it ended up with the right people.
Yes, it did.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yes, it did. Absolutely. Hey, Howard, I always appreciate your time, and I love hearing the stories about you going to these great golf courses that I will probably never get to play or never even try to play because I'm just not very good. If I went to Bethpage, like I said, if I was under 200, that would be a win for me. So I always appreciate you coming on and talking about it, though.
Well, thanks for having me, Brad.
You do great work with the Golf Course Superintendents Association, always like to talk to you. Thank you, Howard. I appreciate it.
You take care. Have a good weekend.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thanks.
All right. That is Howard Richman, our friend from the Golf Course Superintendents Association, formerly a writer at the Kansas City Star. And I've known Howard going back to when I was in high school. So I was at Rockhurst High School. I graduated in 91. And Howard at the time at the Kansas City Star was on the high school beat. And so he would come into the coach's office after the game and he had to write up his stories. And at that time, it didn't have fax machines, didn't have internet. So he would have to take these two, for lack of a better term, like suction cups and put them over the each end of a rotary telephone and send his story over the telephone to the Kansas City Star. And it would take, I don't know, I should have asked Howard, it would probably take 30 minutes to send a story. He's just crazy. But Howard was one of those guys that I would always bother, like Frank Bowl and Dave Stewart and Karen Kornacki and Gordon Dawkins. You know, bother him. He's like, you got any tips for me how I can get into journalism? So Howard's a super great dude. Awesome stuff. Do you want to pay? Would you ever play Bethpage Black?
I am a horrible golfer.
Okay.
I don't.
So am I.
I'm more of a bowler, but I should probably learn how to, like, I played baseball when I was younger, so, like, and
right.
I was, like, deep into, like, the tournaments and, like, playing, like, youth baseball, at a, like, a, like playing, like, you know, 70 games this summer. You
oh,
know?
My gosh.
I was deeply
Ugh.
Into that thing. So, I just wasn't, I never got, and in my family, no one really, in my immediate family really plays golf.
Right.
So I never really had anybody to, like, teach me.
Right.
And so I probably should, though. I think it would be kind of a good thing later in life to kind of have, like, if I, you know, because a lot of my friends from high school play golf, so,
right.
and played on the high school team. So.
Right. Now, my brother and I tried to play when we were kids, but we didn't have anybody to really teach us, and the course where we used to play wasn't really welcoming to young people who didn't know how to play when they could have just pulled you aside and said, would you like some help? They
it's
would
intimidating.
Rather, they wanted
like,
to run
go,
us off.
Going to a golf course is kind of intimidating,
it is intimidating
if you are not good.
Right.
It's one of those sports where it's like, ah, oh man, this is, I don't know. It's just hard if you're not good and, like, people are like, oh, you want to go play golf? And I'm just like, well, not really, because I'm not
I suck.
Good. I love walking the course, though. I love being at, like, the serenity of a golf course
right.
is super nice and, like, especially I worked at a golf course in high school.
Right.
And so waking up early in the morning and, like, the sun rising
yeah.
and everything, it was super, it was a nice kind of, you know, thing to do,
well, here's,
you know, routine in the morning.
Here's the deal for you. If you want to get back into it, go to par three courses.
Smileys.
Yeah. me and my kids play the rock course over at Heart of America, and the guys at Heart of America are awesome. I love those guys over there. If you guys are listening, love you guys. We're going to be out there hopefully next week, but it's a par three, and I'm the type of guy, I don't get upset with bad shots because I know I'm not very good. I'm just out there to swing the clubs and hang around for a while. So I don't, whatever I shoot is what I shoot. I don't care. I have made one hole in one in my life. I did that a couple years ago.
Hang your hat on that one.
And it was a total accident. I bounced it off. It was that rock course at Heart of America. There's an elevated hole. I think it's six, and it's way, I mean, it's like a 40-yard walk up a hill, and I hit it up the hill, and I didn't. I heard it clang off the rock retaining wall that's up there. I'm like, oh gosh, this is gonna be bad. And so we go up the hill, and my kids are looking around for the ball, and then they look in the hole, and they're like, Dad, you hit a hole in one. I was like, total accident. I fell ass backwards into a hole in one. I don't brag about it, but I'm glad I have one. So, yeah, par threes are fun. You talk about being, and I'm going to wrap this up because we're coming up on a break here. Talk about being intimidated on the big course. We were in Colorado last year in Vail, and normally we go down the highway to another little par three course that we like. And I was like, I'm going to play the Vail. I think it's Vail Country Club or just the Vail course, whatever it is. Anybody can play. It's open to the public. And so I made a tee time, and I went up there to the driving range before, like a few hours before, because I just wanted to check it out. I'd never played there before. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's right at the foot of the Rocky Mountains. It's awesome. And I'm seeing the guys walking, guys and gals, men and women, going up to play. And, you know, they're dressed in, you know, $300 golf outfits. They have the best equipment in the world. I'm like, well, I'll wander over by the first tee, and these guys are playing so well. And I went back into the pro shop, and I said, you know, I think we're going to cancel the tee time. We're not ready for this yet. We just aren't. But it's no slam against Vail. It's beautiful. I just wasn't ready for it at the time. All right, we'll take a timeout. Plenty more still to come. Coming up at 11 o'clock. I had to flip my sheet back here. And lost my spot. It's coming up at 11 o'clock. Mike Axisa from CBSSports.com will join us. We'll talk Royals baseball. Talk about Hunter Dozier. And then at 11:30, we'll have Bolig Bites. And we'll get into some other things we have not had time to get into yet, including a couple of my favorite teachers from Rockhurst High School who are going to retire this week. We'll have that and more coming up next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That's a good Sunday slow jam right there. Any song that sounds like you hear an actual vinyl record, that little crackling sound? That's good. That's a solid track. Who is this?
Yeah, this is early 90s rap group called The Far Side.
Okay.
The song is called Passing Me By.
All right. I like that. You get your music, get your movies, get your sports. You got it all on this show.
Hey, former DJ right here. So.
Really? Where did you...
College radio.
Oh, college radio.
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked about that. Yeah.
I had my own music variety show, so...
Did you use your real name on the radio? There's a lot... Some people don't.
Yeah, I use it just because I couldn't think of, like... I had a name for my show, but, like, I didn't have, like, a DJ name because I couldn't think of anything, think of a good one.
Yeah.
But it was fine. My show was fun, and I really enjoyed it. It was a nice, you know... de-stressing time, you know, during school and whatnot. Just,
right.
You know, have my friends, you know, tune in and check it out. And I got to cover, you know, music festivals for the station and
right.
whatnot and get VIP access to stuff. So it was a good time.
Best live band you covered?
Best live band I covered? I really liked a group called Chromeo.
Okay.
They were fun. They're like kind of a dance electronic kind of a group, but they're pretty fun. I also covered Father John Misty. He was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then another band called Chicano Batman.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll
they're kind of a Latino group that's pretty good. So,
all right. Good
yeah.
stuff. You find out something every weekend. You just
yeah.
ask the right question.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I always kind of wanted to be like an FM music DJ, and I came up with all kinds of fake names. I can't remember what they were, but I got into talk radio, and then I went into television, now back to talk radio. So, yeah, a lot of respect for that. Too many radio stations are going with either national or pre-recorded stuff or pre-programmed stuff where the DJ doesn't have to be there. I miss that. I mean, there are a few local stations that still have the local DJs that give you, like, come back from the break, they give you all the concert information, all that stuff. There's some good stuff, but sometimes the bigger stations get away from doing that. We are all local here, most of us. Sports Radio 810 WHB, this is Sports Sunday in Kansas City and across the Midwest. As, dare I say, I see blue clouds outside, or blue sky outside. The clouds are breaking up a little bit. Might actually get some sun today. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. We just wrapped up with Howard Richmond talking PGA Championship. By the way, I forgot to promote PGA Championship coverage here on Sports Radio 810 WHB begins at 1 p.m. Chad Boger's probably going to get upset I didn't mention it while Howard was on the air. Golf on the Radio sound. I didn't know what to think of it when it started a few years ago, but it's actually pretty good. You can follow it pretty good. They're very descriptive, so you don't feel like you're totally left out.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job. I listened to the end of the Masters.
Oh yeah,
on the road, and it was awesome. Oh, especially because you know Tiger won, and so everyone was super enthralled in the moment.
Right,
I enjoyed it a lot. So, but we'll see. It's been kind of a disinteresting for a casual fan,
right?
Tournament so far, but you know, Brooks Koepka is making history out here, so that's. You know, props to him.
So I was talking with Howard, and I was talking with you before the show about this Preakness yesterday. If you missed it, let's see, it was War of Will is the winner.
Yes, he was the one guy, that actually got impeded
right
in the Kentucky Derby.
Right, but nobody's talking about that today. First of all, horse racing has a very limited audience. Okay, so I'm not going to spend time breaking down the Preakness. I'm just going to tell you an interesting story. So War of Will wins. He feels, you know, he's got revenge for getting blocked out at the Kentucky Derby. It's a nice win for him, I guess. $14.20 for a $2 bet. Pretty good odds if you pick that up. But the real story that everybody's talking about last night and everybody's talking about today, is this horse called Bodie Express. All one word, Bodie Express. So they're there in the starting gates. And again, I watch three horse races a year. I don't know anything about it. I don't find it all that interesting, but the three big races, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, they have an atmosphere, they have a lure, they have pageantry, whatever, however you want to phrase it. So that's why I watch. It's like a big party at a horse race, okay? So I'm tuning in yesterday. I'm watching with my kids, and right at the starting gate, one of the horses jumps up in the air, and I thought hit his head on the top of the starting gate. He comes back down and settles down. Then they open the gates, and this horse, number 9, Bodie Express, jumps in the air like he's leaping over, like he's one of those, you know, the horses that do those jumping things contests. I don't know what the sport's called. I apologize. I just don't know. So he jumps up in the air, the equestrian. Okay, thank you. A lot of people at K-State on equestrian scholarships. No offense. I just don't know anything about it. So the horse jumps up in the air. The rider goes flying off, and I'm like, holy cow. And they go over and you know they make sure he's okay. He stood up right away. I was worried that he was hurt, got stepped on, but he appeared to be fine. And I'm thinking, what happens here? What happens when the jockey falls off the horse right at the starting line? And my kids are like, do they have to start the race over? I said, no, they're not going to line up these horses again and start over. That's not how it works. And so the horse keeps running. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm down with this guy, Bodie Express. And I'm cheering him on. I'm acting like a madman. My kids are looking at me like, are you nuts? Why are you yelling about a horse race? And then I start laughing hysterically because there's a horse with no rider right in the middle of one of the three biggest races of the year. So this horse goes in there. He's on the outside. He doesn't have a rider to guide him into the pack or make his way to the rail, whatever you want to call it. But he's out there. He's running. He's running his heart out. Or she. I don't know if it's a boy horse or girl horse. I don't know. So this horse is running. And I'm screaming. I'm laughing my head off. It's hysterical. It was one of the great television events of the year. And I'm cheering for this horse. And then they come around the backstretch. And somebody, I guess they call them the stewards, in a red jacket and a black hat, comes riding out on another horse to try to grab the reins of Bodie Express. And I'm like, oh, I guess they're going to try to pull him out of the race. Well, the whoever was trying to pull him out of the race couldn't get to him. So this horse is still running. He's on the back stretch or the front stretch, whatever it is. He's coming down to the finish line. And I'm screaming for this horse. I'm laughing. I'm busting a gut. And he finished without a rider ahead of at least one horse, maybe two. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is one of the great things I've ever seen. So then the race is over. And I'm like, okay. Who's going to go get this horse? What are they going to do? This horse takes a victory lap without a rider a whole lap by himself, no rider, this horse, Bodie Express. Finally, someone is able to bring him in, slow him down for a little bit, and I didn't know till after the race that if the rider falls off, you're disqualified. The horse is disqualified. I thought the horse could win. That would have been, had that not been the rule, a riderless horse winning the Preakness would have been one of the greatest stories of all time. Even if you're not into horse racing, that would have been a fantastic story. I still think it's a great story.
Not greatest of all time, but it would have been.
No one. It'd be up there.
It would be funny.
How about events funny. Or events or spectacles?
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I didn't. I was not watching live, so I.
Oh.
I was watching the PGA Championship, but that is pretty interesting. I don't think I've ever seen that in a major horse race, but I don't watch horse racing that often,
right.
As
yeah.
you said. But no, I was laughing though. This has nothing to do with horse racing.
Okay.
But in coming up at 11:30, we got Bullock Bites,
okay.
and there's something that pertains to one Sammy Sosa. And I was looking. Do you remember the pictures of Sammy Sosa? With the in the cowboy hat.
Oh,
with
yeah. Like, that was weird. Is he into horses or something?
No, I just saw it. For some reason, I was looking something up about him, and I saw, like, the image, Google images.
Right.
And I saw the picture of
him in a cowboy hat.
And then the cowboy hat and, like, the bolo tie, and I just could not stop laughing.
Live your best life.
It was so funny.
Johnny Cueto's into horses, right? Isn't he always posting pictures of...
himself
on horses?
I don't know. There's someone, Devin White, who just got drafted, the LSU linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
He, like, rides horses all the
time. Weren't
there,
like, three guys in the draft who were, like, into horses and farming and all that?
I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I know Von Miller likes, he's, like, a chicken farmer guy.
He's a farmer.
Like, he likes that because he went to A&M, of course, and they're a big ag school. But
he wears a cowboy hat all the time.
Yeah, he's a big cowboy hat guy.
He's a big cowboy. Yeah, but seeing a horse run a race without a rider, I was so hoping it would win, and I didn't know the rules, so I thought it might count, but that would have been hilarious. Can you imagine betting on a horse in which the rider falls off if that horse would have won and you lost your bet?
Taking it to the appeals, going to court.
Well, the Kentucky Derby might be going to court. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
That just that struck me as out. That was a little bit funny. Yeah, I was flipping around like you. I was watching PGA most of the time, but I knew when the Preakness was coming on, so I flipped over at the last minute. Good stuff. Good stuff. I was just reading, we were talking Sporting KC earlier in the show, and I was just reading Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star spoke with Peter Vermes after the game, and if you missed it, Sporting KC had a 1-0 lead 94 minutes into the game and gave up the tying goal. So basically lost 2 points. So Peter Vermes was asked after the game if he thought they could have wasted more time at the end. He said, you know, we probably could have. We came up short on some passes. So did Vancouver. But maybe we didn't quite get it right at the end of the game. So I'm not a fan.
I mean, that's kind of a risk-reward thing with Vermes' system. It's built off possession and pushing the ball forward. So you're going to leave yourself susceptible sometimes in the back half when you have that mentality of controlling so much on the offensive side of the half and pushing numbers forward and whatnot. You're going to leave yourself susceptible in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the ride or die system that he goes by, and he's talked time and time again. That's what they do.
Right.
He's not going to change it. And instead of, you know, parking the bus and just kind of, you know, stalling, essentially, there were times when, you know, Johnny Russell and even Sestanovic and, you know, guys were getting up the field when they would, you know, retain possession.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so frustrating just because when you look at the replay in the box, the guy, there's nobody. And when Cornelius had that, when he one-timed it, there was no one within 3 or 4 yards of him.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, where was the marking? Where was someone that was supposed to be on him?
I'm sure it will be addressed today. If not, I'm sure it was addressed last night. I'm sure it'll be addressed again today.
Yeah.
But unfortunate for Sporting to get the 1-1 draw because they haven't gotten a win since
March 30th. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. Coming up next, here's one for you. And it does have a Kansas City tie, and it's NASCAR related. You want to talk about throwing hands? You like a good baseball fight? I got one for you from NASCAR. And it was, I don't know if you'd say I'm a fan of guys getting into a fight, but it made for good television. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, and you can listen worldwide by getting the app at 810WHB.com. You can also get the podcast there if you missed any of the show today, or if you missed our Sports Saturday show from yesterday. It's all on there. Chris Bohlig puts it on there for us. It's all good stuff. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad K. Porter. Chris Bohlig, you can follow him at Chris underscore Bohlig, two L's, one G. All right, so similar to horse racing, I don't talk NASCAR that much. I like the sport. I've covered it a number of times over the years. I've gone as a fan to Kansas Speedway many times. My youngest is a big Kyle Busch fan. So I don't get into it a lot unless it's race time at Kansas Speedway much. But if there's a local tie, kind of get into it a little bit. So yesterday, or last night to be specific, was the NASCAR All-Star Race. I don't know how the point system works to get into this race, but I know it's a huge check. It's almost $1 million for the winner just for that one race. So towards the end of the race, and I only saw the highlights of it. Towards the end of the race, Clint Bowyer, Emporia, Kansas, we kind of adopted him in Kansas City. He's raced here many times. He loves Kansas Speedway. He's a great dude. Like Clint, I've covered him since he was, 17, 18 years old when he used to go out to I-70 Speedway in Lakeside. So towards the end of the race, Clint Bowyer and Ryan Newman, and Ryan Newman doesn't win races anymore. They're kind of banging away, and that's it's the nature of the sport. One guy tips the other guy back, and after these collisions or wrecks, one driver blames the other driver blames him back, and who did this? Who did what? So after the race, they're on the cool down lap, right? And Clint Bowyer is coming down the track, and Ryan Newman nudges him in the bumper, and it throws him up into the wall. You could say Clint Bowyer came down in front of him. I don't care. Make your argument. I'm not going to get into it. Clint Bowyer leaps out of his car, runs down to Ryan Newman's car, and he's got his window netting down, and Clint Bowyer was throwing haymakers before he even got to the car. I mean, it was like he was working a speed bag at a boxing gym. Just boom, boom, boom. I'm like, this is wild. We see this in NASCAR sometimes. Usually it's in the pits or back in the garage. We've seen fights plenty of times in NASCAR. But this was Clint Bowyer just laying haymakers to a guy who's in his car. So after the race, Ryan Newman says, well, it was his fault. He did this and that and the other thing. And it takes a lot of guts to fight a guy who's not wearing a helmet. And Ryan Newman was clearly bruised. I mean, he had a mouse under his eye when you get popped. And Bowyer, after the race, says, he did this to me, he did that to me, and when you do that to somebody else, you get popped in the nose. I think he had a different term for it. Basically, you get popped in the nose. And this thing was crazy. And Clint Bowyer's new. Like I said, I covered Clint since he was 17 to 18. He's a pretty down-to-earth dude. But he was flaming mad after that one. Like I said, I'm not the biggest fan of guys getting into fist fights or any whatever the sport is, but that made for good television.
I love it.
Do you?
I love it.
I mean,
I love when guys get into it. It makes it more interesting, especially if I don't have a rooting interest.
Right.
Even if I do have a rooting interest, I'm all about. I don't know. I just think it's fun. I like seeing guys get after it and get because you see in the NBA these days, guys don't, there's not really true rivalries and people getting into it and actually not liking each other, which I like that in sports. I like when there's a villain and a good guy, or at least for the team. Like if you have a team that you root for and you're like, okay, I despise this other team or this guy or this one, there's always one hated figure or whatnot. I like that, and I like when it gets chippy, and that makes it interesting, I think. I'm not saying, I'm not talking about, Malice in the Palace where people are going in the stand.
Oh, right.
That was horrible.
Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, but, when it is at, on the court field or wherever it is, I like that. I think it's fun, and I think it makes, especially for a casual viewer that maybe doesn't have a rooting interest, I really think it, it amplifies the situation, and you remember those. You remember those times. You know, you right. remember when things like that happen.
I remember, you know, for as nice a guy as Mike Sweeney is, Royals Hall of Famer, super nice guy. I love Mike. But I'll always remember him going after, was it Jeff Weaver with the Detroit Tigers? I guess Mike had asked him to move the rosin bag or something because it distracted him, and he called him a name. And Mike kind of stood out in front of home plate and said, what did you say to me? Charged the mound, threw his helmet on him, at him and missed him, and then he jumped on him and just started going to town, which is very out of character for Mike. All right, quick timeout here on Sports Sunday. When we come back, we'll talk with Mike Axisa from CBSSports.com. Great story about Hunter Dozier. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.